Welcome to the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders on this third Sunday in Lent. Our service will be conducted by the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. Information on how to order tapes or printed copies of today's sermon will be given at the close of the program. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday and worship with us. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
A mother asks, "Do you think my son Joe will ever become a believer in Jesus Christ?" That's a pretty important question, and we're going to talk about it today in the sermon. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. God in heaven, we pray that the Word of God may speak so clearly today that no person can wonder what the gospel really is. And then we pray, Holy Spirit, that you will take these words and use them in the hearts of those who yet have to come to faith. Some are struggling, others are very negative, but Lord, your power is strong enough that we can bring this glorious message that sets people free. Hear our prayer and speak through your word this day. In Christ's name, amen.
Rise up, O men of God, have done with lesser things. Give heart and soul and mind and strength to serve the King of Kings. Rise up, O men of God. Rise up, O men of
His
God.
Hear the word of God as it is recorded in the fourth chapter of the Gospel of St. John, beginning with verse 1. The Pharisees heard that Jesus was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John, although in fact it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. When the Lord learned of this, he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria, so he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, and near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour. Then a Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" For Jews do not associate with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asked you for a drink, you would have asked me, and I would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his son and his flocks and his herd?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. The woman said to him, Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water. He told her, Go call your husband and come back. I have no husband, she replied. Jesus said, You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have said is quite true. Here ends a reading of God's holy word. Friends in Christ, I have a favorite television personality whose program I truly enjoy. He gives the appearance of being a very kind person. As he seeks to have his listeners better informed on a topic being discussed, his questions in the interview can become quite specific and personal, but I don't find them ever offensive. Some of his most interesting programs for me are when he is interviewing people like Billy Graham, Oral Roberts, Robert Shula, or celebrities in the entertainment, sports, or political world about their own personal relationship with God. One evening he was talking to former President Jimmy Carter about his religious faith. Another night he was talking to Pat Boone about the God who is the healer. He is a person who has heard many moving testimonies from various prominent people. And yet, it appears that this person still is not a Christian. That is, he is not a believer in Jesus Christ. If people could make a believer out of him, I believe it could have happened by now. He has had so many great opportunities to hear what God has done in the lives of so many people. I have the feeling, though, that, and this is a personal opinion, that he is not indifferent to the Christian faith, nor does he belittle his guests on the program for their beliefs, but he just has not come to that place in his life where he is willing to join those who confess that Jesus Christ is Savior and Lord. And so you could ask the question, when do you think this person will be a believer in Christ? Now that is a question that is often asked. Here is a mother who will come saying, I have a son. I don't know if Joe will ever come to faith in Christ as his Savior. Maybe you're asking the same question about a person in your life, a son, a daughter, a spouse, or just a friend. You brought this person to church. You have had Bible studies with him or her. You have prayed for him or her, but still this individual is not a Christian. What will it take to bring this person into a living, personal relationship with God? I think we have to be frank and say we don't really know if the person will ever become a believer. But we can say this, that if he does or she does become a believer in Jesus Christ, it will be the Holy Spirit who has done it. It is in the hands of God. And our role in all of this is simply to tell them the story of Jesus Christ. The answer is in our text today, and it is simply this. It takes a personal meeting with Jesus Christ before the person can really come to know him as Savior and Lord. We go back to the Samaritan well. Here sat a woman by the well, waiting to draw water for her family and for the flock. And there sat Jesus. Jesus finally said to her, "Would you give me a drink of water?" This surprised the woman. She didn't think that a Jewish man would ever talk to her, a Samaritan woman. After all, she was a woman and men did not talk to women. She was a Samaritan and he was a Jew. And so she argued with him a little bit and wondered why this all was. And finally he said, you know, if you had understood who was asking you for a drink of water, you would have given it to him and he would have given you water whereby you would never thirst again. Again, there was discussion. And finally, Jesus challenged her and said, go home and get your husband. Come on back and we'll talk about this matter some more. The lady looked at him and said, I have no husband. And Jesus replied, you are telling me the truth now. You don't have a husband, but you've been married 5 times, and the person you're living with is not your husband. In one sense of the word, you told me the truth, but still you were covering up a bit of this. Why didn't you come right straight out and tell who you really are? Can't you live with your past? And her reactions were, wow, this person knows everything that I ever did. He can see right through my facade. I do need some spiritual help. He forces me to take a look at myself and confess my sin. Who are you? The woman asked Jesus. I can tell you who I am. He said, I am the one who can give you living water. I can satisfy your spiritual thirst. The lady turned around and said, well, they say that there's a Messiah who's coming. And when the Messiah comes, he's going to be able to tell us all things. And then it was that Jesus turned and said to her, I am the Messiah. I am the Savior. I can forgive your sins, and I can restore you into fellowship with God. It is at this point, confronted by Christ, who has reminded her of her sins and her need of a Savior, and then has told her, I am your Savior. I am your hope. I am the one who can give you peace. I am the one who can turn your life around, that this woman is forced to make a decision. And so she could either receive him or she could turn around, take her pots, and go home. But from what we learn in the text, by the grace of God, empowered by the Spirit of God, she received him and her life was changed. If time had permitted, I would have read you the whole chapter, but maybe some of you know it, how she went back into her household. back to her whole community. And she said, I have met a man who told me everything that I have ever done. And so they invited Jesus to come to their town, and he stayed there a little bit with them. And when he left, because they had had that personal encounter with him, they said, now we too believe, not because of your testimony, but because we have met him ourselves. When will Joe believe? When might the television personality come to faith in Christ? I don't know. But this I do know, that it is only when he stands or she stands in the presence of Jesus Christ, and again empowered by the Holy Spirit, turns her life over to him, that she will have that peace that only the Lord can give. You can then ask the question, well, how does a person have that conversation with Jesus? And this is very clear. Christ speaks to us in the Word of God, in the Holy Scriptures. There he has the same conversation with us that he had with that particular woman. True, he was face to face with her, and that would be more desirable. But he comes to us through that word and tells us who we are. He tells us that we are really in need of him, that we cannot enter into a living relationship with God outside of him. The same conversation, friend. And when a person then comes to faith in Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus also says to that person, now you go and share that conversation with another individual. Will the people always come to faith? No. You see, when God created us, and we have to remember this, when God created us, he created us with a mind that could think and a will that could make a decision. That mind and that will was free to say no to God. So you see, a person can say no to the pastor who preaches the gospel. A person can say no to a Sunday school teacher. Joe could say no to his father and mother. The television personality could say no to whoever came along on his show. No matter how hard they tried, no matter how sincere they were, no matter how much he respected them, he could still say no. Now you may ask, well, why in the world did God create us that way? And I really don't know. That's one of the questions that we so often talk about, that when we get to heaven, we want to ask Jesus about. Well, that's one of the questions I'm going to ask. Why did you give us that freedom to say no? You are the Lord God Almighty, and you want us in your kingdom. But he doesn't want a puppet. He doesn't want somebody in his kingdom who is forced to be there. No person can force another person to enter that kingdom. No person can force another one to say yes to Christ. Not even God himself is going to do that. He has reserved for that person the right to say, I don't want you, God. Now, the interesting thing is that when God gives that treatment from us, you would think he would have said, okay, if that's the way you want to have it, you can have it that way. You've had your last chance. But not so with God. Again and again, he comes back to you and to me and says, look, I need a bigger place in your life. He does not discard us. He keeps working with us until the day of grace ends. And when does the day of grace end? It ends when we have breathed our last. This is the day of grace. This is a time that you and I can do something about our relationship with God. But when we have breathed that last breath, there is no more, according to the Scriptures. No more as far as receiving Christ. It seems like there are people who say, will you say a prayer for a relative who died 2 weeks ago? Now, a person would have to be very unkind to say, I'm sorry, it's too late. You should have asked me to have done that long ago. Or you should have talked more seriously with that person. Now they want a prayer offered. That is of no value, according to the scripture. Today is a day of grace. Today, if you hear his heart, do not harden yourself, but empowered by that Spirit of God, turn to him and let him take control of your being. And so the dear mother who loves her child, who brought him as a babe to the baptismal font, who taught him to pray, who read the Bible to him, who watched him walk away, says with all of the burden within her heart, do you think my friend, my child Joe, will ever come to faith? We can only say, God is almighty. God is powerful. God works in his own good time. I heard Billy Graham say one night to this evangelist, to this television personality to whom I have referred, you know, one day, I fully believe that you will trust Jesus Christ. I think you're on your way. Why does Billy say that? Because there is a passage in the scripture that says, my word is not going to return void. The full meaning of that we do not know. But we know that God is still on the throne. God is still working with these people he loves. And what he wants more than anything else is that we live in a living personal relationship with him, both now and for all eternity. That's the good news that reveals to us how God loves us so much. Amen.
It takes all wounded spirit all.
Will you pray with me? We thank you, our Father, that you give us a portion of Scripture like this that reveals to us how you plead, how you want to have us back home. And so we pray that if we're one of those people who is wondering about a relative or a loved one who is away, that we may do what you have told us to do. Give us a strength to talk to that person about his or her relationship with the Lord Jesus. And then, God, we pray that we may leave the rest to you, realizing that it is your Holy Spirit alone who can bring us to faith. And only in faith can we claim you as our Redeemer. Bless those this day who are sick. Comfort them with your holy word. Let them know, Lord, that you have not forsaken them, but that you walk with them. And in this day, you say to them, I love you, with an everlasting love. This is our prayer, which we ask in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray that this message has fed your spiritual needs. Christian Crusaders is a nonprofit radio ministry supported by gifts from our listeners. Many of you have become a broadcast sponsor, sending a gift of $100. This generous gift pays for 1 week's broadcast on the station you listen to. We thank our broadcast sponsors for helping us to buy radio time on 32 stations in 12 states across the nation. Cassette tapes or printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Once more, our toll-free phone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, simply dial 266-7589. Christian Crusaders invites you to find out more about our ministry on the Internet. Our website address is christiancrusaders.org. That's Christian Crusaders, all one word, .org. Hundreds of Pastor Larson's sermons are available on our website for you to read, print, or forward to a friend. The last few programs can be heard at your convenience. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa, and radio pastor of Christian Crusaders for the past 40 years.